Welcome, this is Jessica Eyes here with Purdue Agricultural Economics Podcast, and I'm here with my co-host Ken. What's shaking, Ken?
Well, what's shaking is turkeys and Thanksgiving. That's what's shaking.
I guess we're coming up on the holidays.
It's that time of year. You know, I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a lady in there, a fellow customer of the establishment, who was digging through all of the frozen turkeys frantically looking for, I guess, just the right turkey. Finally, she got exasperated. She looked up and saw a stock boy, and she yelled across, "Hey, do these things get any bigger?" And the kid was, like, frozen in terror. Finally, he goes, "No, ma'am, they're dead."
Oh, stop it!
No, really, this is honest to God.
You, that actually happened?
Maybe.
I knew it!
It's a good story,
it
though,
is a really, really good story.
It could have happened.
Which is the perfect segue into our podcast today, and our guest with us is Dr. Corinne Alexander, and she is a professor here at Purdue University's Department of Agricultural Economics.
She is, and she is also, among many other things that she's an expert in, she's an expert in food prices.
I've been tracking what's been happening with Thanksgiving food costs for about 10 years now, and in general, you can expect that Thanksgiving food costs go up about 2-3% each year, but some years, some interesting things happen, and this year the big story is turkey. Turkey is a lot more expensive at the wholesale level this year than it has been in recent years.
So that means I should be looking at maybe some other meat?
Well, so actually all of the livestock products are a lot more expensive this year.
Wait, does that mean we can't have a bacon Thanksgiving?
Well, you can. It's just not going to be any cheaper than turkey Thanksgiving. But I don't know. Maybe we're inferring too much. So what's the story on retail prices, Corrine?
Well, the story on retail prices for turkey is that this is that favorite item for grocery stores to put on as a loss leader. And so what they want to do is they are going to price it attractively for you. So you come into the store to buy your turkey and then all your other Thanksgiving items at the same time. Their other goal is to build customer loyalty. So when I tell you what the USDA is forecasting the wholesale price for, you know that that's what the grocery store is paying. Right now, USDA is saying it's going to be between $1.12 and $1.16 a pound. I've seen other numbers from the Associated Press that said $1.24 a pound. So that's the wholesale price. That's what your grocery store is paying for it. And they might turn around and sell it to you. And the fun part about doing this story is reporters from all around the state tell me what the cost is. So I've heard 69 cents a pound at one place. I've heard 56 cents a pound at another place. And I heard 7 cents a pound at another grocery store.
Wow, that's quite a loss.
That's quite a loss. So what you know is in all those cases, those grocery stores are really pricing this as a loss leader and offering you a fantastic deal relative to what they paid for the turkey.
So what's behind these high wholesale prices of turkeys?
So the high wholesale cost of turkey is really that micro story of the legacy of the 2012 drought. With the 2012 drought and shortages of corn and beans, we had record high feed costs that have only now, with starting in October and November of 2014, with the new record crop of corn and beans, come down. And so turkey producers who have been losing money, they shrunk their flocks, and so there's fewer turkeys out there. Now that feed costs are much lower, the turkey producers are going to start expanding. But if they started expanding this October, it takes 3 to 5 months to grow a turkey to market weight. So we're looking at early next year before you'd see more turkeys available. So the good news is next Thanksgiving, those wholesale costs are down. For the consumer, Thanksgiving doesn't matter. If your grocery store is still charging you 56 cents a pound, it's not going to matter what the wholesale cost is. But your grocery store will appreciate the lower costs next year.
And I think a few weeks ago we had Chris Herden here who was talking about the whole animal complex and prices, and he suggested that there was no safe haven for the meat eater in terms of other prices.
Not yet. Yeah, not until we really have some time for all of those livestock herds and flocks to expand. One of the reporters I talked to today, they do a standing rib roast at Thanksgiving. And so, you know, that's beef, and beef is the one that's up the most, and it's up even 17% over the last 12 months.
Wow, that's substantial.
You know, turkey right now looks like a really good deal.
What are these higher prices in meat in general? What ramifications do they have for consumers?
So what we've seen is American meat consumption peaked in 2007 at 222 pounds per person. And since then, for 2014, I think the forecast is for the average American to eat about 200 pounds per person. So what that means
per
is
year.
Per year.
So per year, the average American eats more than my body weight.
You're eating a hefty guy.
Yes. Well, and so when you think about those per capita numbers, now this is pre-cooked weight, right? So, you know, when you cook it up, it ends up smaller. But that's including men, women, children, everybody in the U.S. So that means there are some people that are eating far more than 200 pounds per person. And then, you know, we have some vegetarians, so there's some people that are eating far fewer than the 200 pounds per person. But what you can take a look at for those big numbers is what we've seen is effectively a 10% decline in meat consumption since 2007 as a result of both the income impacts from the Great Recession on households where they don't have as much spending money, and also because with smaller supplies and higher costs, well, it's also just plain smaller supplies, there's not as much meat. So we have really seen a change in behavior from households.
Even with us substituting to other sources of protein, we're not staying ahead of this supply decline, still driving prices up a little bit higher.
Well, so, I mean, we have a supply decline. At the same time, we've also had strong exports in certain meat complexes. Okay. And so, you know, at the end of the day, that per capita consumption number is all about domestic availability. And so as some of the countries around the world are willing to pay more than the American consumer is willing to pay for meat, it means we'd be exporting meat and reducing domestic supply.
So this time of year, if you're really quiet, you can hear all the turkeys across the country co-opting John Lennon's tune and singing, "Give Beef a Chance." but it's just not going to work. Consumers just aren't going to go there.
No, I mean, I think a lot of people think that the poultry industry is behind the ad for Chick-fil-A,
yeah.
Where you've got the cow saying,
yeah, there
more
you go.
Chicken.
Yes.
And I think that that's really been what's happened in terms of domestic meat consumption, is you've really seen beef consumption decline because of the record tight supplies on beef, and then chicken consumption really increasing.
Yeah, and of course, because of the biology of the production process, the poultry people can ramp up supplies a lot faster than cattle farmers and pork producers.
You mean it takes longer to grow a cow than a chicken?
It does. Not to grow one, but birth one.
Well, from the time you decide you want to expand your beef herd or, you know, grow a cow to market weight, it takes about 3 years.
Okay.
And for chickens, I think we're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. With the lower feed costs, we would expect that the livestock complex will expand production.
Okay.
And we are already seeing signs that there is expanded production. And so with expanded supplies, we would see prices come down, and you would expect to see people eating more meat. Now, I think going forward, there's a lot of questions about where meat consumption will go because, you know, we're taking a look at competition between the U.S. consumer and consumers around the world and who's got the highest willingness to pay for that meat dollar. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. I don't think we know exactly where we're going.
What about all the other yummy things that we eat at Thanksgiving time?
So, cranberries... when we look at fresh cranberries,
some of us think cranberries are yummy.
My favorite thing on the Thanksgiving table is cranberry sauce. So, and I think that the perfect partner to turkey is cranberry sauce. But cranberries are in great supply, and the price of fresh cranberries has been exactly the same for the last 6 years. So, good news, we don't expect cranberry prices to go up. Sweet potatoes. It turns out that the American consumer has completely fallen in love with sweet potatoes. So even though supplies are increasing there, because demand is so strong, we're expecting prices to be a bit higher there. And then white potatoes, again, strong demand, strong supplies, but prices up, maybe flat to up a little bit.
What about pumpkins for pumpkin
yes,
pies?
Pumpkin pie.
That's right.
So when we take a look at where prices go, you tend to see prices of canned goods be very, very stable. And since almost everybody makes their pumpkin pie from the canned Libby's pumpkin, that's a very stable price situation. And there was great pumpkin year this year, ample supplies, and we expect that to be pretty steady prices on the canned pumpkin. The one place in terms of fresh vegetables, or for green beans, a lot of people like to have green beans for Thanksgiving. If you enjoy fresh green beans, then you're looking at reduced supplies. Supplies of fresh green beans are down about 50% because of the rains that happened in Florida this year. So you would see higher prices for green beans, less supply. For households that prefer the green bean casserole, since that's from canned green beans, those prices would be steady. You wouldn't see any impact there at all.
So it seems like, Corinne, there's a growing interest, at least amongst a segment of consumers, for local products. So I see advertisements for local turkeys around Thanksgiving time. What do we know about the prices for those things? I mean, is that something you can talk to?
I can talk a little bit to it. The wholesale price I quoted from the USDA is for that frozen whole turkey. When it comes to any of the products that are more niche products, whether they're local, organic, or fresh, you're going to pay the full cost of that. There's going to be no loss leader deal on any of those. And the prices I've been hearing there are from anywhere, depending on whether it's local to organic, local, fresh, which might be the highest price, anywhere from around $3.50 a pound up to, say, $8 a pound. So if you really like that local, fresh, organic, you know, put all three together, you could be paying quite a lot for your turkey.
$8 a pound on my 20-pound turkey. That's a $160 turkey for
that's
Thanksgiving.
That's a pricey turkey.
Well, so
you're going to be having some special people over.
Yes. Yes.
So from the numbers I've seen, those sort of special turkeys account for 0.3% of turkey supply.
Very small.
So these are very much niche products, and for a lot of the local turkeys here in Indiana, if you're buying your turkey from a local farmer, you probably made your order last Thanksgiving. A lot of times when people are picking up their fresh turkey each Thanksgiving, they just make their order for the following year. And so someone who's interested in purchasing a local turkey, you have to plan ahead, and there may not be any available this year if you're going to the store now, because they were probably ordered last year.
I heard once about somebody who ordered a turkey and he asked the farmer to feed it just like one particular type of candy or something throughout the year so that it had a flavor to it, like licorice or something.
So what you
have you heard of that?
When you get that local market, it's a very customized, high-end market.
Can a turkey even live on licorice?
I don't know.
Probably not licorice alone, but you know there have been certainly lots of stories of feeding things like marigold petals to poultry to cause the skin to have a brighter yellowish color.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we, on behalf of Ken and I would, and Dr. Alexander, we would like to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
My name is Corinne Alexander, and I'm a professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University, and you've been listening to our podcast. To learn more about our department, visit us at www.agecom.purdue.edu, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and our YouTube account.